Convenience stores are ubiquitous around the valley and other communities, so whether you need a frozen drink, a hot dog, or a tank of gas, you're in luck. But they typically don't have any attachment to Arizona's culture or history. That is not the case when it comes to trading posts, which still have a deep connection to the state, even as their presence becomes scarcer. In the November issue of Arizona Highways, Matt Jaffe wrote about the visits he made to a few of the state's remaining trading posts, and he joins me to talk about that. Matt, what qualities did a traditional trading post have?
Well, a traditional trading post was not just a place where which you often see now with crafts and souvenir trinkets and things like that. I mean, there are a lot of trading posts or places that call themselves trading posts off of the interstate. A traditional trading post was, in many ways, a community center, and also it was a place where the local community would pick up basic supplies, groceries, different things. And also, a traditional trading post also had operated under what was called a pawn system, where for many Navajo, they didn't have ready access to credit or bank accounts and things like that. So what they would do is they could bring in crafts and different items and basically receive a short-term loan from the trader.
In any way, did it seem like you were stepping back in time?
Yeah, I think especially at up at Tis Nas Pass when we saw somebody come in with a big bags of wool and John, the trader there, was actually buying from them. That definitely felt like a step back in time. That said, I think with the exception of the rooms where the crafts are actually kept, I think for the most part, these places weren't like exactly bursting with character. I mean, they were very functional, more than designed to evoke a certain feeling. Let's put it that way.
What stands out about the people who still run the trading posts? Are there other things that they seem to have in common?
I think they're really all very committed to the local community, and it's not a business you go into or stay in to get rich. I think that they all really embrace the role that they play. They know their regular customers. They work very closely with them. In many ways, it's really a calling.
What was it like to go on a road trip like this, where you're going from trading post to trading post? And I don't want to overdo it again about stepping back in time, but there is some element of that. What was this road trip like compared to other ones you've taken?
Let me think about that for a minute. I think what was really appealing about it for both my friend Tom and I is it just got us off on a whole different track. There were some roads that I had never been on before. I think that was the main thing, was it was just a way to, not so much, it wasn't even so much stepping back into some ancient past as it had almost the quality of, I think, what a road trip would have felt like in the 50s, where, you know, you're just kind of bombing down these two-lane highways, and I think I was mentioning, you know, the red dust is blowing across, and we happened to catch some incredibly beautiful days where fast-moving clouds are moving across the landscape and casting their shadows. And it was just a chance to get some really isolated parts of Arizona where you don't get to unless you aim to get to them. These are spots that I just hadn't been to, where you're getting off of, a little bit off of some of the highways. But I think that was the real adventure of it, was just seeing roads and getting to some isolated places that even for somebody like me, who has done a lot of traveling in Arizona, were kind of revelations.
Writer Matt Jaffe, his piece in the November edition of Arizona Highways is titled The Last Trading Posts.